Welcome to 1514, a podcast of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, where we draw from the words of Romans 15:14 to encourage all Christians that they are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to counsel one another. I'm your host and director of the Biblical Counseling Coalition, Curtis Solomon. Welcome back to 1514. It's a pleasure to be with you as always. Thanks for those of you who are listening, regular listeners or watchers online. Appreciate your faithfulness in that. Also, be sure to review our podcast on iTunes or Podbean, wherever else you listen to it, as well as encourage others to listen. It's just a small way you can help us spread the word about the Biblical Counseling Coalition as well as 1514. Well, today I have with me a special guest, Nathan Penny, who is the pastor of counseling ministries at Harvest Bible Chapel in Oakville, Canada. If you see Oakville, CA, that's not California as much as they would like to think they're their own nation. It is Canada. So Nathan, thanks so much for being here with us today.
Hey, thanks, Curtis.
So Nathan, why don't you introduce our listeners and our audience to yourself and to your family?
Sure. So my name's Nathan, and I'm married to my excellent wife, Natasha. We have two young kids. My daughter is Madison. She's 15 years old. And my son is Samuel, and he's 12.
Very cool. And tell us about your ministry at Oakville, as well as any other ministry roles that you're filling right now.
Yeah, sure. So I oversee here at Harvest Oakville our counseling ministry. So we're a church just outside of Toronto in Canada, a church of about 4,000. So we have a team of full-time counselors of five, and then we have a non-vocational team as well of about eight. And then we've got another class going right now of another 12. So really excited about that. In terms of training, one of the organizations that we've just really appreciated is ABC and John Henderson and his ministry. And so we're having all our non-vocational counselors get trained up and certified with ABC.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you guys are using Equipped to Counsel in that material there?
We are. Yeah. It just really resonates with our heart, and we've seen God really use it.
That's great. Yeah. It'll be exciting to see those students take into consideration and learn the things that they're studying and then be able to turn around and apply that. So how many non-vocational counselors do you have? You said?
Yes, we have eight currently serving. Right. Yeah, and then we've got another class of 12 in the wings.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
So how do you incorporate them into the church ministry? What does that look like?
Yeah, so we've spent with our first class 3 years doing that. So with the first class, it was a year of just getting them certified. So as a class together, we went through the ABC content, which was great to do as a group. And then we spent the next year really getting them into the counseling ministry, just in terms of serving as an advocate. That's one of the roles that we have here. So someone who is kind of walking alongside a counselee during formal counseling, as well as the second year serving more under supervision. So they would actually be doing the counseling, and then we'd have one of our counselors in the room, just being able to provide them with feedback. And after serving a couple of times and kind of officially being commissioned, and off you go, bless you. With the reporting structure and such, but man, that's for me, that's one of the most exciting parts of my ministry.
That is definitely an exciting part to be able to replicate counselors and add them to your team. I'm sure the church is blessed by them as well. So can you give us an update? So you're also helped serve with the Canadian Biblical Counseling Coalition.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you kind of update us? Last year around this time, I had a chance to interview Betty Ann, who's on the council for the Biblical Counseling Coalition. Can you just give us an update on the status of the CBCC?
Yeah, I'd love to. So, I mean, in a nutshell, I'd say we're very much in our infancy, and we don't know what we're doing. I'd really say that's kind of where we're at. But our eyes are on the Lord. And really seeking him and just prayerfully asking him to lead us. We're all very passionate about biblical counseling. We want to see biblical counseling sweep through churches in Canada. But ultimately, this is going to be a work of the Spirit. So that's where we're at now. We don't know what we're doing, but we're seeking him.
Yeah, well, that can be an exciting time as well. And a good thanks for the honesty, too, because sometimes that is just where we are. We have a vision. We kind of know what we want to accomplish, but we're not sure exactly how we're going to make that happen. So this, while you guys are still in your infancy, you had a national conference last year.
We did.
We're actually getting ready to have one next week, which I'm excited to be a part of and to come up there and be with you all and share with you. What have you seen any impacts from last year's conference and maybe changes in the biblical counseling world of Canada between last year and this year?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to say that, you know, we've just seen, maximum impact and everything's changed in Canada. That's not the case. I'd say it's for us, it's very much crawl, walk, run, and we're still at the crawl phase. But really, I mean, the intent is to just start conversations. In Canada, what we see is that there's these small pockets of biblical counseling. There are people that are kind of all on their own and they're in the church and they're wondering, am I the only one doing this? And so we're really just trying to get people together and start a conversation with like-minded people as well as with church leaders and pastors who really have never been exposed to biblical counseling at all.
Yeah. So what's kind of the makeup? Those people, you said there's some people that are kind of off on their own, but then there's other pockets, and then there's churches like yours where you guys have 5 vocational counselors and 8 and more in training. What's the general makeup overall of the kind of the biblical counseling world in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough question because I'm so kind of centralized here in Ontario and around Toronto. But from what I'm hearing from, we have one board member that is just by Vancouver on the west coast of Canada. And then we have another board member out on the east coast of Canada in Newfoundland. And it just seems like, you know, there's some churches that are very passionate about biblical counseling. And you have senior pastors that are endorsing it and elders boards that are seeking to have people equipped who are called. There's also a tendency that we've had in the church in Canada to send people out, to refer people out of the church to receive counseling. And so, that's a barrier for sure. And I think, just as we gather people together from churches, just trying to get a vision out of what biblical counseling is.
Hmm. So what, you mentioned that one barrier, just the tendency for people to refer out, and that's kind of the big barrier that kind of launched the modern biblical counseling movement, is the tendency of churches and pastors to, instead of caring for the souls of the sheep that they are given the shepherd, they refer those out to mental health professionals outside. What are some of the other barriers or challenges that the Canadian Biblical Counseling Coalition, Canadian Biblical Counseling movement is finding in Canada?
Yeah, so I'd say for us, just as a board right now, so there's 6 of us on the board, and we're all biblical counselors, which probably isn't ideal, So we are all sort of like-minded. We all kind of do the same thing. But we need a little bit more diversity. We need some people that have other gift sets that are able to promote and sort of get the message out there and have gift sets that we don't have. So that would be, that would be one of the barriers for sure, is that we've got 6 fairly like-minded, busy people, and we need to add a few more skill sets to that board. That'd be one for sure.
Any others facing, when you're going out and you're talking to churches, pastors who are getting exposed to biblical counseling, maybe for the first time or maybe the second time? I know I talked to Betty Ann before, and there was kind of a few decades ago an earlier push that some people are resistant to. What are some of the challenges that they're posing to you all against the idea of biblical counseling?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say we've had, we're at the point now where we've had a lot of those kinds of conversations. I hope that we do get to have more of those. Most of the folks that came out to the first conference were very, very excited, not really getting a lot of resistance. But I would say that on our part too, we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful in terms of, our own attitude, making sure that we don't sort of put some image out there that we've got this all together and we know what we're doing. And, so there were some folks that came out to our last conference that were, from the world of psychology, but they were very humble and they were really excited about what they were hearing. I think we just have to model that as well. You know, we want to build bridges. We want to invite conversations. And if we're excited about Christ, or if we're excited about the gospel and how it can start to be played out in people's lives, man, there's a lot to agree on. And I think we need to be focusing on those things.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's encouraging to hear, because, I mean, the reality, most people get into psychology, mental health field because they want to help people.
That's right.
And more often than not, what I've found is that people, when they're, especially if they're first learning about biblical counseling, it's not resistance to, it's ignorance of it. They just, they've never heard of these concepts before, and they are excited. So that's a great, good place to be. Good place to be.
Amen.
Now, Canada, you guys have the English-speaking Canada and French-speaking Canada. How much crossover are you seeing in biblical counseling in both worlds, or are they pretty independent of one another?
Yeah, and I'd say this would be a weakness of ours in Ontario, that I wouldn't say that we're not seeing a lot of crossover at all, and that's on us. You know, it's because, you know, we haven't really made much of an effort. I think in Quebec, there's been a lot more crossover in places like Sembec, for example. You know, there's a lot of work happening there where a lot of great resources have been translated into French from English. And there's a lot of great things happening in Quebec. And I think for us in Ontario, and we really just need to make the time and make the effort to meet up with the folks that are doing a good work in Quebec so that we can start to build those bridges and start to learn from each other.
So what other challenges maybe do you guys face in Canada? I know in the States, I did an interview with Tim Challies, and he said, basically, if you want to know what's going on in Canada, don't listen to the news in the States about Canada. Cause it's very inaccurate often, but, some of the things that we do hear about are very left-leaning legislative moves, even to limit the use of the word counselor, that kind of thing. Are those actual challenges that you're running into?
Yeah, I mean, some of that is pressing in for sure. Our culture is very, very secular and encroaching and pushing in more and more every day. So, I mean, that's for sure a challenge. And you know, that affects the church in many different ways. But, you know, I wouldn't say that there's you know, massive persecution happening in Canada or anything like that. But we are seeing lawmakers starting to become more and more encroaching. Mm-hmm.
So other challenges that might come up that are to face you guys culturally, the secularism, the maybe politically, what are some of the other challenges you face as a culture when it comes to biblical counseling?
Yeah. So again, just really being in our infancy, I think that we're going to experience maybe what those challenges are when the message starts to get out a little bit more, you know, effectively. And so once that starts happening, I think we'll probably, no doubt experience different challenges that we're not experiencing now, simply because there isn't the awareness really of biblical counseling and what biblical counseling is. So there's still a big question mark over that and what it means for most people.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We'll pray that some of the challenges, you know, and that's one of the nice things about the BCC. And one of the things we want to do is to help prep people for some of those challenges and maybe help different cultures not face the same challenges we've been through. The modern biblical counseling movement kicking off about 50 years ago. We've learned some lessons, Lord willing, and hopefully can share some of those as well, especially with such close neighbors. Mm-hmm. So next year, as I mentioned earlier, next week is the second annual Canadian Biblical Counseling Coalition Conference. What's the theme of the conference, and how did the leadership team settle on that theme?
Yeah, so the theme is hope in suffering. So originally the theme was just suffering, and that sounded a little bit dark. but we arrived at that because, I mean, this is the universal human experience. This is life in a fallen world. And so this is something that absolutely everybody can relate to on some level, whether you're suffering personally or you are, in a church of suffering people, you know? So there's a definitely a personal ministry application to this that I think is appealing for all of us. We want to learn about the hope in suffering, you know? And so Curtis, we're really glad that you're going to be joining us and speaking specifically on that topic. But then there's the ministry application as well. And for all of us in churches, we're in churches filled with suffering people. And so there's the personal application, but then there's the ministry application. We want to learn how can we more effectively walk alongside brothers and sisters who are in the valley, you know? And if it's not us, it's going to be someone else. So Lord, help us.
So when you're in your counseling ministry at your church, and maybe you've talked to other biblical counselors in the area, are there particular types of suffering that are facing the people that are coming to your counseling ministry?
Yeah, I mean, so as we just think about suffering and maybe, you know, four streams of suffering that pour into our lives that can develop into a reservoir of suffering, you know, we have people sinning against us. We have, just the effects of living in a fallen world. We have our own sin, and then we have the demonic. I would say for most of us, if we were to point at an area that has brought the most suffering into our lives, I think if we have any degree of self-awareness, we'd point to our own sin. That, man, that, you know, it's me, you know, it's my own propensity to give myself over to the desires of the flesh and all the different ways that plays out in lives and marriages and families and careers and in churches and the devastation that sin brings. So if I was to say there'd be one area amongst many, it would just be our own sin.
Hmm. Yeah. And I believe, in the breakout session time, there are different focused workshops on those different categories. So I'm excited to see some of the material. Hopefully it comes out of the conference and is made available broadly. I'm bummed and that's the way it goes with all conferences. You can't be at everything. So that's a nice thing about modern technology is we can record things and hopefully share them later. So
right, yeah.
Who do you mentioned obviously people coming to be blessed themselves who are sufferers. We're all sufferers. We live in a fallen world. We sin, we bring suffering on ourselves. But who do you anticipate the primary audience coming to the conference to be?
Yeah. So I think our primary audience will be people that have had some degree of exposure to biblical counseling. So there'll be people from Harvest for sure. But people that have had some kind of exposure, whether it's through ACBC or CCEF or ABC, just exposure on the internet, things going on in their churches. I think that will be the vast majority of the people that will come. Looking again for personal ministry, but also a broader ministry application, what we're hoping for and who we're really kind of appealing to are those who really have no idea what biblical counseling is or have had very little exposure to it. And we're looking for love to have the senior pastors or the elders board or those who are, you know, leadership in different churches in the area to come out and hopefully be very blessed.
This is a question I didn't send you ahead of time, but I was just curious. You mentioned some of the different biblical counseling organizations that have made up the biblical counseling movement. In Canada, have you guys seen a similar trend of different organizations popping up in different regions or for different reasons?
No, there's really nothing like that in Canada. Even in terms of schools, we have one school that we love very much, Heritage College and Seminary, and they're in the midst of developing their biblical counseling program. So very excited for that. But in terms of organizations like an ACBC or an ABC or a CCF, we're not there yet at all. But we've been so blessed by those organizations. And we're so excited that we can make use of their resources and certification processes and all those things. So again, we're not really, I don't think, too interested in reinventing the wheel. You know, yeah. If things, yeah. Man, we don't want to reinvent a CCEF or, you know, like, but we want to really immerse ourselves in those resources and even more importantly, be pointing others to them.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's one of the, when I interviewed Michael Leiser from Germany, he said one of the lessons they had learned from watching the States over 40 years was to really to start kind of like with a coalition from the get-go, recognizing that these different organizations exist for different reasons, and we're not trying to eliminate them or anything like that, but it is helpful if they're all working together from the get-go on the common purpose of glorifying God through helping people transform their lives into Christ-likeness. So mm-hmm. that's good. I'm glad to hear that. So getting back to the conference that I'm excited to see, if people are wanting to register, is there still time for them to register and sign up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a few more days left. So the website, just want to get it right. It's biblicalcounselingcanada.ca, and that's counseling with one L because that's Canada. Okay. So biblicalcounselingcanada.ca, people can register there. Still a few more days. So if the trend sort of continues, it looks like the conference will be about twice the size as last year's. And last year we had Michael with us. He was our speaker last year. He blessed us so much speaking about purity. So we're really encouraged that, you know, through word of mouth and maybe a little bit with social media, the message is getting out, more people are coming. So Lord lead us.
Yeah. Fantastic. I'm excited to be there. I don't think I doubled the number, obviously myself being there, but, I hope I'm adding to that and looking forward to that. So Nathan, you're actually going to share a little bit at the conference too, and I don't want to totally steal your thunder, but could you give us an idea of what you're going to be talking about at the conference?
Yeah. So I'm going to be answering the question, or trying to anyway, why biblical counseling? So why should we really be interested in counsel that comes from God's word? So really I'm going to be kind of talking through that a little bit, giving a theological argument for biblical counseling, sort of describing what biblical counseling is, and how it could play out in a local church. So that would be sort of an overview of what I'm going to be talking about.
Nice. That's a big task. So I'll definitely be praying for you and looking forward to hearing what you have to say, hearing how you communicate that message. So people can go to the website to register for the conference, and there's still time to do that. I'm looking forward to it as well. I don't want to totally give away my thunder either, but I'm going to be bringing a few messages from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and maybe tying in verse 18 there, really focusing on how we can exalt in our tribulations. You know, mm-hmm. if you look at Romans 5, there's actually, depending on translation, three times this word appears in the NES. It's translated exalt, and I'm going to kind of shape those three topics around that, really looking at talking about hope and suffering and understanding that. So just a little teaser there. Hopefully some people will be interested in that and check it out. I'm looking forward to it. So how can we, our audience, be praying for the conference specifically, but then also for the Canadian Biblical Counseling Coalition?
Yeah. So for the conference, just that the Lord would lead it, and that he would get glory, that people would come and they would hear exactly what they need to hear, and that there would be a stirring in their spirits that this is good, this is right, this is God honoring. This can happen in my life, and this can happen in my church. That God would use this to stir up some momentum in Canada, you know, starting here in Ontario, but working outwards into Canada. And so, I mean, so many churches, there's just, yeah. So we're excited. There's just so much potential. What could the Lord do with just a little group of us who are starting to meet and start to talk about biblical counseling? So for the conference, for sure, for us as a board, again, just that the Lord would add to our numbers those who he would rise up, that would, you know, that would be helpful. You know, again, we have a limited skill set, and I think we need to be adding to that skill set. And so that would be a great way for anyone who would like to pray for our board, and that the Lord would continue to lead in that.
Well, fantastic. I know I will be praying for those things, and I'm sure many of our other listeners will. They're faithful prayers, and we'll be lifting up your church. And I like what you said there. What can we as a small group of people do? And I think the book of Acts reminds us that a small group of people can turn the world upside down. Mm. Right? We're living for God, and his spirit is empowering the work that we're doing. So we'll be praying for that, not just in Canada or in the US, but across the world. So yeah. Absolutely. Mm. Well, brother, I'm going to move into our segment. We have a segment at the end called 2 Minute Favorites. And I failed you by not sending you this list ahead of time, but give everybody 2 minutes to answer as many of these as you can.
Okay.
David Pallison, I think, got through about three of them. Okay. A couple other people have actually completed the list. So there's a broad spectrum there. So you ready for this?
I'll try. Let's do it.
All right. Number one, what is your favorite food?
Indian food.
All right. What's your favorite gift you've ever received?
A dirt bike when I was 6 years old for Easter.
Nice.
Yeah.
Favorite gift ever given?
I think it would be an Xbox to my son, simply because of the way he responded. So he, if he sees this, he'll know what I'm talking about, but it was so funny. Yeah. So that would be the first thing I can think of.
If you got that video, you have to share it.
Yeah, sometime. We do actually. Yeah. Yeah. Classic.
Very cool. What's your favorite word?
My favorite word, grace.
What's your least favorite word?
I don't have one.
All right. What is your favorite book of the Bible?
I would say Galatians.
Okay. What's your favorite extra biblical book?
Mere Christianity. I got saved reading that book, so that's got to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Favorite color?
Black. Hope that doesn't sound too dark.
Favorite sport?
Basketball.
Favorite sports team?
Raptors. Toronto Raptors.
Favorite Bible verse?
2 Corinthians 3:18.
All right. Favorite ice cream flavor?
Chocolate.
Favorite candy?
Candy canes.
Favorite quote?
I won't get it verbatim. It's George Mueller saying that the most important thing that he could do every day, that this took him years to learn, was to get his heart happy in the Lord.
What is, if you had one superpower, what superpower would you choose?
Oh, flight, hands down.
What is your favorite restaurant?
Favorite restaurant. There's a restaurant close to our church called Montfort's Mediterranean food. Excellent. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Well, that is ends our time. Nathan, it was great to meet you, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for being here with us.
Thanks so much, Curtis. Bless you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of 1514. If you'd like to know more about the Biblical Counseling Coalition, please visit our website at biblicalcc.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at biblicalcc or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Biblical Counseling Coalition. Thanks again for listening.